Well, this hasn't reached the level of Rich Kotite, but boy, it's been a tough stretch for Doug Peterson, has it not? And yeah, a lot of it has been off the field and questions about whether this guy can handle the locker room, whether this guy can handle himself on the sidelines, and specifically what he's saying to us via the media at these press conferences. But a lot has been on the field as well, from the actual play calling to the personnel decision making to whether or not you're going to go for it on fourth down to kicking. I mean, all the things that you've heard build up, not even the last couple of days, but since Dallas. And it only got worse up in New York. And that's part of the problem, is it not? Is that we've seen two straight divisional losses, and it has not been pretty out there. And then you add what's happened with Huff, and you got guys showing up late, and you've Malcolm Jenkins' comments. You just heard Sal on with Mike about those comments and going back into that. This has not been a good stretch for the Eagles head coach. And there's been a lot of criticism. What I would say, 75% is right and 25% is just overkill. And when it happens, when you have somebody of prominence and when you have a big name, in this case, the CEO of the Philadelphia Eagles and the head coach, the face, if you will, out there in management, there's going to be a lot of criticism for any little thing you do if it doesn't work out. But at the same time, when you do get that rightful criticism, when you do get that 75%, people just like to take it an extra inch, sometimes an extra mile. And that's just the nature of the society we live in on this election eve. So you look at what's happening right now with Doug Peterson. Some people will say, hey, chill, relax. This is a rookie head coach. And that's been the counter that I've heard over the last week and a half, is that it's a rookie head coach we're dealing with. He's going through growing pains, and he's going to grow out of them. And we didn't expect, and then it goes back into the mantra of, and it's isn't it really similar to what you hear with Wentz? It goes back to this big picture mantra of the team. And whatever your expectations are for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they've changed each week. 3 weeks into the season, they changed. And rightfully so. For me, I look at the percentage and I'm thinking, okay, you're in the driver's seat right now. Yeah, I get it that you're flawed. And I get it that you don't have any wide receivers and you don't have any cornerbacks. But you still won games. And on the flip side, you can see that a team that is devoid of talent in those positions and elsewhere as well, and has a head coach that's just making it so difficult at times for this team, and a defensive coordinator who has done it as well. I mean, there are culprits across the board right now on both sides of the ball, in the booth, on the field, everywhere. There are culprits out there. But Peterson right there at the top, and it has slid right down on him. And what's interesting to me is I've defended Carson Wentz. And on Twitter and the post game, he throws two picks, able to battle his way out of it. And that's been somewhat of a theme in which he starts off a little rusty, a little shaky. Maybe it's pressure. Maybe it's his own fault, as we saw with these two picks. And he's finding a way to battle back, and he's finding a way to pull himself and ultimately his team out of a hole to at least be in a position to win a football game. That thing came down right to the final play for the Eagles. And yes, it was an awful game across the board. And there's something in the back of my mind that's saying, you're losing off of a couple of breaks, but this team is not good. And that's more, I think, reflective of the NFL, that even mediocre teams have a shot, especially if you're going up against another mediocre team. And in most cases, despite what a record may say, like Dallas and that one loss, they're not a superpower. Not yet, at least. They're probably closer to any other team in the division, but they're not there just yet. They're still growing, and they're still finding their own identity, and they're taking advantage of what seems to be mostly mediocre in the NFL. And I don't even know if you could say that the Eagles are right there in the middle of mediocrity anymore. They might be lower middle class. I thought they were an upper middle class team. They're not even middle right now. So you look at the criticism that's gone on the head coach. You look at the criticism on the quarterback. Both are the same. They're rookies. They've both come into the NFL trying to learn, trying to gain experience, and grow from mistakes. Eitan Shander with you. It's a short show. We're only here for an hour. Red Wings, Flyers, tonight at 7 on the Fanatic. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by CarSense, where their certified used cars look like new and are guaranteed even better with a lifetime engine guarantee. Find out more at carsense.com. It's car sensational. Now, I have the answer in my head, at least what I think it is, but I'm going to throw it out to you. You've got two rookies right now in the key positions, two major positions right now moving forward that would dictate the success or failure of this organization. The rookie in Wentz and the rookie in Peterson. Now, you can tell without me laying this out here. I don't need to take 3 minutes and lay this out here for you. You can tell based on the conversation, not just on this station, but the conversation you're having with your buddies, you're having with your friends, you're having at the bar, at work, wherever it may be, with fellow Eagles fans, to those rat Cowboys fans, and anybody else, anybody that's watching football, you're having the same conversation. And you know the nature of it when you're criticizing Wentz is far different than it is with Peterson. And why is that? Is it because there really is no learning curve? I mean, really, is this an astronaut? And I love the analogy that Sal laid out with Mike, where there are some jobs, like presidents, astronauts, there are some jobs like that. I don't necessarily know if this is a job with zero learning curve, because we have seen examples of guys who have stepped in and stepped into it. You know what it is. And have been able to wipe their shoes off, run them through the washer, come out. They look brand new. They look white, just like when you bought them. The K-Swiss that Devon Givens rocks. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. You get me on Twitter at Shander Show. The criticism is way worse for Doug Peterson than it is for Carson Wentz. And here's the thing, because there's something about us in our society now where you're automatically jumping to this conclusion that I want harsher criticism on Wentz. That's the opposite, because that's automatically what we do, right? Somebody's getting criticized that's in our group that we like, that looks like us, that thinks like us, that talks like us, whatever it may be. That person's getting criticized. And we look over, well, how come you're not criticizing that person? How many times did you hear today? I counted four times with Anthony that I got on Twitter or on the phones. How come you guys are criticizing Doug Peterson, but you're not criticizing Brett Brown? Well, you could look at the state of Philadelphia sports and pretty much bring up everybody. Even Joel Embiid has a couple of warts out there. Nobody is safe right now in the world of Philadelphia sports. Not even Wentz. So stop trying to bring in these red herrings. Stop trying to bring in something that doesn't fit into the conversation. We're talking about the Eagles. We're talking about two specific people here. The quarterback and the head coach. Both are rookies. Both are making mistakes. Both are struggling recently. Now, Doug Peterson, it looks bad. Wentz, those throws, those picks, you look at the tape, those picks did not look good. But yet, there still is this level of patience that Carson Wentz will continue to grow and continue to learn. Hey, Doug Peterson, last time I checked, was the head coach for those first three games. Last time I checked, Doug Peterson was 3-0, just like Jim Schwartz, Carson Wentz, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles were 3-0. And yet we conveniently just forget it. And now it's a sense of doom and gloom. Now, there are certain things you can point to with both guys, with both of these men, and say, that needs to get better. And it needs to get better now. So I get that there's a level of patience that maybe some of you don't have or aren't willing to give. And it looks like the majority aren't willing to give Doug Peterson, where on the flip side, the majority are willing to give the quarterback. Tony's first up with Eitan Shander on the Fanatic. Tony, thanks for holding, man.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
Hey, nothing much. I just wanted to talk about just talk about the Eagles for a bit. So I hear that a lot of fans, they have a big problem with Peterson and just the way his play calling has been the past two games against the Cowboys and the Giants last week. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say one thing. RELAX, relax. Just take your time. I'm not a Philly fan, but I can see some comparisons. Like, you gotta be very relaxed and give Peterson a chance to grow. He's a rookie head coach, and he's going to make some mistakes. I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan, mm-hmm. and I see a lot of similarities between Peterson and Garrett.
No,
Garrett,
please, don't put him in jail. Paul, no, I hope he's not Garrett.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe he's better.
I hope that's what I'm saying. I mean, Garrett is basically a puppet. Garrett, you know, Garrett's one of those things. What is, why am I blanking on it? You know, you put your hand up, not a mannequin. Devon.
The reason why I'm saying that is because when he was a rookie head coach, he was doing stupid
ventriloquist
mistakes.
Dummy. That's what he is.
Yeah, he was making many mistakes. And I have a bunch of friends that are Philly fans, and I try to convince them that Peterson is a good head coach. He was under Andy Reid. He knows, but maybe he has too much on his plate right now.
Well, look at this. High praise from a Cowboys fan about Doug Peterson. I never thought I'd hear that, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself, you know, a rational Cowboy fan.
I didn't think that existed. Are you from Dallas? Maybe are you from that? Is that why? Because you're from that area?
Well, my dad was from Texas.
Okay.
And my mom's she's a Redskins fan. So we pretty much got the NFC East division in our blood. So, yeah. So, my best friend, he's a Philly fan. And he sometimes gets down. But these mistakes that you're seeing, I think that I would say wait until the rest of this season.
Well, that's tough, though. And listen, Tony, appreciate the call. That's tough to wait out if you see week in and week out the level of mistake. Now, I'm not I don't know at this point where you go on this. Because you can look at the clock management, if it's the timeouts, if it's the challenging, if it's going for it on fourth in situations that just don't call for it, if it's going for it and making it on fourth and then excusing it away because you've made it when everybody's looking at it like, dude, you really shouldn't have gone for it anyway. You just see some decisions that make you question a guy who has been on the sidelines as an offensive coordinator. Now, maybe Carson Wentz gets more of a benefit because we don't have that much familiarity with him before he got here. And he was all the things that were... Bradford was going to start over this kid, for goodness sakes. And there was still, at least put out there, this question of would Wentz start once Bradford... Chase Daniel, all this crap. And the Division II, I don't know. Maybe there's this level of patience that's being afforded to Wentz because we don't know his history like we do Peterson. And because Peterson isn't connected to you-know-who. And because if he makes an issue and he has a blunder with the clock, or if he can't manage his challenges, or if he doesn't know how to use a timeout, we think of the other guy. We think of the guy that recommended him. Greg is next up on the Fanatic with Eitan Shinner. Greg?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's happening, man?
Now, first of all, that guy who just called is not a true Cowboy fan. I will say that right now.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Jeez, two straight Cowboys fans. I mean, Devon, are you screening these guys?
Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish.
No, we're just having fun, man. My venom to the Cowboys is gone after last week. I can't say anything.
Okay, so my whole thing.
Just
is,
don't kick me when I'm down, all right, Greg?
I won't kick you. I won't kick you when you're down. So this is what I'll say. Doug Peterson, I will say that his future looks bright. I feel like he's just making a couple of hiccups right now. He's really learning on the job. I mean, you guys have a right to be on his back because, you know, when it was 3-0, you had fans calling in talking about playoffs and they're one player away from this and that. I mean, I think the division is a lot stronger than a lot of people said it was going to be. Mike Missanelli in particular, he thought that, you know, with 9 wins or 7 wins or whatever, you can win the division. I think that with them being 0-3 in the division now, it's clearly the other teams, Dallas, New York, and Washington.
Oh, yeah, the playoffs are out for the Eagles. I have no doubt of that. I mean, they're not going to put together a stretch right now, Greg, that's going to be way over 500. That's going to lock it. I mean, you really need 9 wins, I think, at the wild card right now, right? Dallas is going to win at least 10, 11 games.
Okay, and I just got one last thing. I want you to please be honest with me. Please don't tell me that you believe at this point right now going forward with what, 8 weeks? It's been 8 weeks, right? 8 or 9 weeks?
Yeah, they're 4-4.
Okay, so you can't possibly think at this moment that Carson Wentz is head and shoulders above Dak Prescott.
Head and shoulders? No, he's not head and shoulders, but I'd still take him, and I'd like to see what Carson is with the weapons that Dak has. I think Dak can move, and I think Dak can throw to open guys. He's on the money, and I think Dak has shown that his accuracy has gotten a little bit better, but I think that Wentz still sees the game a little different than a lot of quarterbacks out there. And I don't know if Dak has separated himself like that yet.
I mean,
so I'll give up the props. Listen, I got to give up the props to him, definitely. But here's what I would say. Both look like they get rattled when they get hit.
Yeah, you got a point.
I mean, right? Wasn't that kind of what happened?
Brandon Graham coming at you full speed. I mean, you know, anybody's going to be rattled after that.
Yeah, but listen, here's the thing. I mean, we got it. I'll take that as high praise. You know, you can't say it on the radio, right? But still, if you're talking about Brandon Graham like that, I'll take that as high praise. Steve's next up on the Fanatic. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, so, I mean, the way that I see it...
Tell me you're not a Cowboys fan.
I'm not.
Okay, thank you. Back to reality.
Go Birds. The way that I see it is the football season for a rookie head coach is really three distinct parts. The first part, you come out of the gate, nobody knows you, and usually you can rack up a few wins.
Like Chip?
Yeah. The second part is when they start making adjustments to you, and that's kind of like the struggling period that I think we're in now with Peterson. Now, I want to see what adjustments can he make to come back. I don't necessarily think, you know, we're going to the playoffs this year, but I want to see competitive games. I want to see him making the right call. I was fine going for it on fourth down. Didn't work. Well, maybe in the future, the second time you just kick the field goal. So I want to see how does he adjust? How does he improve?
Yeah, and regardless of the fourth down thing, I think it's just whether or not he can learn from mistakes. And what frustrated a lot of people after the Dallas loss, Stephen, was it didn't seem like he learned from anything. And instead, he just went the opposite and completely 180'd. And that's not really how you learn from stuff, right? You don't just go complete 180 if you make a mistake. You kind of learn from that and grow, and it's a process.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think, like, he's just got to find that middle ground. Like, he kind of reminds me, I grew up playing baseball my whole life, loved Utley. But he kind of reminds me of, like, a rookie that comes up and can hit a home run. Hits a home run his first few at-bats, and then they realize that he can't hit a fastball.
Right.
Or he can only hit a fastball, he can't hit a curve. So I want to see is, can he make those adjustments? Yeah, these few weeks have been bad, but I just want to see competitive football going forward, and that'll get me pumped for next year.
Okay, good call, Steven. I appreciate that. And you raise a point that has me thinking, right, about the adjustments. And that's a good way to lay it out where you've got that three phases to your rookie year. And the middle part is when you get caught up to by the rest of the NFL. And then that third part is how you adjust. Do you continue to get swallowed and ultimately digested, or do you find a way to fight out? And what's interesting to me, and I cannot forget it, and I cannot excuse it away and just conveniently place it in the corner when it comes to being critical of Doug Peterson, is that they've shown they know what they're doing in the third quarter. Is that they've shown they've been able to make adjustments and score and actually limit and narrow a gap, or in some cases take the lead. So there's got to be a way in which you can extrapolate that small little adjustment from the half into the third quarter and make it more of a adjustment from week to week. Now, I know that the fourth quarter comes and it's back to reality. It's a hammer just hitting you right over the head like, oof, what just happened in the third? And in some cases, it wasn't all his fault. Defense, receivers, Wentz, line, whatever. Fumble, turnover, things like that. But this is a guy and his staff on offense that they've shown that they're a competent staff when it comes to making an in-game adjustment, at least from the half to the third quarter. Adjustments that have worked. So there's something there. There has to be something there that you can build with. Now, maybe you look at the two and say, well, I'm way more confident in the building materials that I have, that is Carson Wentz, versus the building materials that I have represented by Doug Peterson. Thinking you could have something really special with Carson Wentz because of the way he sees the field and him pre-snap and his intellect and his ability to throw at all these things that you can look at. At Peterson, it's kind of like, well, things go right. We don't really know what's going on. Things go wrong, and look at all the things that went wrong, and you just pile on. Now, again, let me qualify this. If you're just joining us, 610-632-0975, the phone number, at Shander Show, 8 until 7. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be criticized. And I'm not saying that he should be absolved of all sins out there. No, he should be criticized. And again, I say about 75% of what I've heard is spot on. We haven't seen anywhere near that level of percentage hit when it comes to being critical of Carson Wentz. And there are times in which, you rightfully so, open up the door of criticism towards Carson. And I'm not advocating more criticism for Carson. What I would advocate is less criticism of Doug if you're going to play the whole rookie card. If you're going to play the whole learning on the job card. Because we've seen evidence of rookie quarterbacks and rookie head coaches struggle. And then grow. And then learn. And then bounce back. We've also seen evidence far too often of a guy coming out and just lighting it on fire. And then the D catches up, both as a coach and a quarterback, and then that's it, lights out. You're Todd Marinovich, your ass is out. AJ's next up on the Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
Hey there, Autonomous.
How are you, AJ?
It's a crappy day, but you know what? I figured while I'm in traffic, I'd listen to you, and first of all, any person that's a Cowboy fan should be banned from calling into the station from now on. It's annoying me because, yes, Dak is a great quarterback in the making, and so is Carson, you know, and as far as I'm concerned right now, you know, I'm starting a new job, so it's like, it's almost like I feel for Doug, because it's like you're always going to be messing up, because that's just what rookies and newbies do. And right now, you know, I'm in the dumps right now, because I know I'm still learning my way, and it's kind of frustrating, but and there's the potential to be better, and I'm not ready to toss Doug yet by any means, because if anything, I feel like he's a football guy, and I do feel like he is willing to adjust game by game. We're running out of patience because everybody's been promised so much for years, and after a while, you get sick of hearing it. So I think everyone's, like, ADD is on, like, 10-plus because they're so sick and tired of, you know, looking at one promising dream for one team, and then it just falls through on the other. And me, personally, the thing about patience is you can achieve it and you can have it. It's just whatever you decide, however you decide to show it and use it. And as a fan, if you look at it from the bottom line, we just love our sports, period. We're passionate. We're the best fans ever. I mean, people want to deny us, but Philly rocks for fans because we know what we're talking about and we love our teams. We just want them to do better. And like me, I'm hard on myself, so I always want to do better. But it won't always produce the same product every time. So every week that comes up, I'm excited for a game, even if they suck. But I'm always over it like the next day because I know there's another game coming. So I think that fans just need to kind of just look at it that way. You know, you don't go, oh, playoffs, oh, Super Bowl. Go game by game. Because it worked that way when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl that year. They took it game by game, and they built it. And at this point, we already know there are some missing parts, but we know this team has tons of potential. And I don't know who's going to be the next one to take it, but it's going to happen. It's just that in the meantime, we should just be fans and enjoy every week that comes and stop expecting so many big things in one year.
Awesome. AJ, great phone call. Really appreciate
love you,
it.
Bye.
Yeah. Good luck on the new job, too. See, you can go week by week and not lose your passion. 610-632-0975. We'll get more of your phone calls here. And look at the difference between the two rookies. One under a lot of fire. One, not so much. At Shander Show on Twitter. Best time to get me during the break. All right, guys. Week 10 of the football season. And I know everybody's still upset about Sunday's loss to New York. But it's never too early to think about this weekend's football action. I've got something to make you feel much better right now as we flip the page. It's never too early to place your picks at mybookie.net. What do you think? Who looks good? Baltimore over Cleveland? No brainer. How about Chicago over Tampa? It's never too early to get in on the action with MyBookie. I know some of you had the winners this past weekend, but didn't go to MyBookie and win? What are you thinking right there? You've got the knowledge already. Go to MyBookie. Don't waste any time. Go to MyBookie now. Make your picks and win big. You need to go to MyBookie. Place your picks and win. Don't let this week go by without making your picks at MyBookie, the industry-leading website, the authority. Every week, thousands of guys get in on the action and win big. What are you waiting for? Here's your chance to put your picks to work at MyBookie. Don't wait. Join MyBookie and get in on the action. Go online at MyBookie, open an account, and place your picks. It's real easy. Go to MyBookie, use promo code FANATIC. That's promo code FANATIC. Sign up and win big.
Tonight at 7, the Flyers return to the ice and are set for a rematch with the Detroit Red Wings.
Backhand, forehand, he scores!
Hear all the Flyers hockey action right here. Your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Do you and your friends love bubble hockey? Well, Coors Light is bringing the fun and excitement of bubble hockey to South Jersey. Join the Fanatic as we bring out the Coors Light Bubble Hockey Game. If you can make it to the finals, you and a friend could be going to watch the Flyers take on Pittsburgh in the Coors Light NHL Stadium Series. That's right. Go watch the Flyers play on an outdoor rink. Go to 975thefanatic.com and click on the Coors Light Bubble Hockey link to find out where we'll be. Brought to you by Coors Light.
Come out to Sharky's in Williamstown this Friday for the next Coors Light Bubble Hockey Qualifier. This is your chance to win hockey tickets and play your way to Pittsburgh to watch the Flyers take on the Penguins in the Coors Light Stadium Series. Get there early to register for your chance to play starting at 7 p.m. and enjoy 275 Coors Light bottles, $2 banquet drafts, and $3 Molson bottles, all brought to you by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. With all my roofing experience, I get a lot of questions from friends, family, and strangers. Here's what I say. Beware of winter. Shingles are made of asphalt. When it's hot, they're sticky and flexible, perfect for keeping out water. But when it's cold, shingles contract, creating gaps where water and ice can cause damage. If you've ever seen icicles hanging off your roof, you can bet that same ice is backing up under your shingles, causing more damage. I urge people not to put a damaged roof through one more winter. The longer you wait, the more complicated and costly your replacement will be. I don't want this winter to cause additional damage to anyone's roof. That's why I'm offering qualified customers who call right now 0% interest and no payments for one full year. Replace your roof now, pay for it next year. Call us at 1-800-279-5300. That's 1-800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com.
There's something old in your freezer. Something you froze for later. But later never came. That's why Wendy's only uses fresh beef for their hamburgers, because frozen is for later. Show Wendy's how old frozen can be with a photo of the oldest thing in your freezer, and you could win a year of fresh Wendy's hamburgers. For details, go to freezerdig.com. Start digging.
No purchase necessary. U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Ends 11-2016. For official rules and all details, visit freezerdig.com. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
You know that winning on the football field means giving 110%.
Just like winning on the field of business travel, La Quinta Inns and Suites totally gets that.
So make it a part of your game plan to book direct at LQ.com for La Quinta's lowest price guarantee.
Then next time you hit the road for business, don't let the road hit back.
Score a great night's rest knowing you got La Quinta's best price.
So you can wake up, suit up, and go make that deal 110% better.
Prepare to win at business. Book now at LQ.com.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. With all my roofing experience, I get a lot of questions from friends, family, and strangers. Here's what I say. Beware of winter. Shingles are made of asphalt. When it's hot, they're sticky and flexible, perfect for keeping out water. But when it's cold, shingles contract, creating gaps where water and ice can cause damage. If you've ever seen icicles hanging off your roof, you can bet that same ice is backing up under your shingles, causing more damage. I urge people not to put a damaged roof through one more winter. The longer you wait, the more complicated and costly your replacement will be. I don't want this winter to cause additional damage to anyone's roof. That's why I'm offering qualified customers who call right now 0% interest and no payments for one full year. Replace your roof now, pay for it next year. Call us at 1-800-279-5300. That's 1-800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com.
If you run a business, whether you're in plumbing, HVAC, or construction, you know that commercial vans aren't one size fits all. Some vans are too small.
We're gonna have to make two trips.
Others too big.
Watch the top. Watch the top!
You need a van that's just right. That's where the Mercedes-Benz Metris comes in. It's the only available mid-size commercial van with unmatched safety features, a 2,500 two-pound payload, and enough cargo space to hold over 60 sheets of 4x8 drywall. It's big enough for the job, yet it's small enough to fit in your garage. It has a service interval of up to 15,000 miles and the highest residual value in its class, according to ALG. We won't give you a one-size-fits-all van. We'll do you one better, a commercial van that's sized just right for you. The 2016 midsize mattress. Mercedes-Benz. Vans born to run.
This Veterans Day 97.5, the Fanatic wants to thank and salute our veterans for their great service to our great country. Veterans Day on the Fanatic is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. French Creek Outfitters is your home for firearms, archery, camping, fishing, outdoor clothes, and footwear. Take advantage of the lowest prices of the year on all of your favorite outdoor gear. French Creek Outfitters located at 270 Schuylkill Road in Phoenixville. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Looking to get engaged? Don't miss Family & Company Jewelers' Verragio Trunk Show November 11th and 12th. See the largest selection of Verragio rings in the area and save hundreds. One weekend only, preview brand new styles and settings and have Verragio custom design a ring just for you. Family & Company Jewelers is the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination. Go to their showroom in Marlton, New Jersey, November 11th and 12th for the Verragio Trunk Show and save hundreds on the ring of her dreams. Online at familyjewelers.com.
Yeah, we got a pair of rookies right now that key positions of the Philadelphia Eagles, and clearly there's a landslide. We didn't throw any election-level poll up. Figure that you're probably tired of all that at this point, just like the political commercials. Although we had some really good ones today, but my goodness, if there's anything that we can take from today being over, almost over, are they still running them? Are they still running those political commercials like through the day and evening until the polls actually close? It would make sense, right? The oversaturation of them in the first place, that you wouldn't want to stop it. Until you didn't have to stop it. But my God. And how many times every 4 years it's the same thing? Enough is enough. How many more of these commercials can you take? And then you know what's going to happen 4 years from now? Same damn thing. Todd is next up on the Fanatic with Eitan Shander. Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, like the hell with the critics and all that. I still have the Eagles at 10-6. So what do you think? You think they can still be 10-6? I mean, keep in mind that we did beat Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? We did beat an undefeated Vikings team. All right.
So you think they're going to go 6-2 over the next eight games?
That was my next sentence. I really think that they can, because, I mean, I think that Carson Wentz plays better against them teams that he knows that he has to step up. You know what I mean? If you watch the Vikings game, he didn't do that bad. If you watch the Pittsburgh game, he did tremendous. You know what I mean?
You're really asking almost for him to be perfect at least six of those eight games.
I don't think it's out of the question.
Well, you think about it. We have to factor in what we've seen out there, which is, you know, one guy in Aguilar just disappearing half the game, the other guy in DGB who can't run the route, and they just started using Ertz the right way. So I don't know. There are a lot of things around Wentz that I just are out of his control.
I agree
Todd.
With that, but I mean, I just bleed green. You know what I mean?
Listen, I don't.
That's my envision.
I can't fault you for your passion and how you feel positive about the team, but. We could also look kind of realistically at and think, that's a tall task, to say the least.
And then, like how you'll compliment Dak Prescott. I mean, I say he plays for the Cowboys. He sucks. You know what I mean? And the only reason the Cowboys get watched is their cheerleaders, and they suck too. You know what I mean? Anytime they're playing the team, Dak Prescott gets hit, you're cheering because he got hit.
Yeah, that's fine. I am too, but I can still recognize a good football player, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Is Dez Bryant a good player? I mean, we got to at least recognize that, right? Odell Beckham?
He sucks. He wears silver and blue. He's corny.
Okay, that's fine. He could be corny. Like, we can make fun of Odell Beckham and say, you know, you'd be corny all you want. But, I mean, the guy is scoring touchdowns at a rate that nobody else has scored it. And it pains me to say it, and Todd, appreciate the call, but there's a difference between looking at somebody and saying, all right, you got to respect your opponent because he's a pretty damn good football player versus... Well, everybody sucks because they play for the other team. There's a difference between how you want to define sucks, I guess, but players are recognizing guys, right? Teams are game planning around Carson Wentz. I don't think that Dallas is looking at that like, oh, Wentz sucks. Kyrie Irving and LeBron are referencing Joel Embiid in the post game. So what does that tell you? People have eyes on it. Michael's next up on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for the call, bud.
Hey, I got two things. One, pretty much that two calls ago AJ hit on, so I don't really want to hit on it too much. But that one was just basically like, as Eagles fans, as silly fans, I feel like she did. Like she said that we've been in such a drought that we don't have patience. and we don't let people develop. So, you know, it's things are good, and we're like through the roof. We're just through the roof. We're on cloud nine. But when things go bad, we're like, get them out of here.
Yeah, but so why? Let me ask you this, Michael, because I think you're onto something. But why is it that you can tell just from listening to the station, there is a clear difference in how we've criticized Carson Wentz versus how we've criticized Doug Peterson. And I say we, meaning even guys like Michael, and, you know, Mike and Anthony, who kind of differ a little bit on Wentz, they're still completely on the same side with a guy like Peterson, which is just kill, kill, kill.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that just goes back to our impatience. I mean, we're just...
But we are patient with Wentz, is my point.
Kelly. Yeah. We just, but you know, it's the impatience because they're looking at games where we could have won. And they can pinpoint it on, if this coach would have made this decision, wouldn't have made this decision, then we would have won. We would have been 6-2,
right.
We'd have been 7-1, or whatever. So they're putting that blame, and I can't answer why.
No, but I'm glad you brought that up about blaming the coach as far as the loss. I don't necessarily feel this way, but I've heard it, so I'll bring it up to you. How come people aren't, more people, and not nearly enough to even constitute a majority, aren't saying, if Carson Wentz doesn't throw those two picks, the Eagles win that football game?
Exactly. I mean, the blame goes across the board.
Yeah, but far few people are saying that, right? I mean, you don't hear many people call. You don't see many tweets. They're like, hey, man, if Wentz doesn't throw those two picks, Eagles win hands down. It's if Doug Peterson goes for those field goals, then you win the football game. So that's my question, is why.
And I can even go to this because, I mean, this is not even the second one I want to say, but I can even go to this. I look at this team throughout the years, and to me, I feel like they're – you know, of course, in the football NFL, coaches are the first to go. But there are certain patterns with this team that have been consistent throughout the years, the past few years. The penalties, the false starts, the defense. A lot of things are consistent. And when you bring in different coaches, but you still have the same problem, maybe it's not a coach problem all the time.
Hmm. Maybe it's an organizational
it's a
thing?
Problem.
Or a player problem,
maybe
yeah.
It could be organizational.
Well, it could be organizational if you're bringing in those players, right?
Yeah, because we've been having similar issues with penalties, similar issues with receivers, similar issues with defense. A lot of these issues that play on the field are not just this year. These are the same issues we've had with different coaches.
Appreciate the phone call, Michael. It was a really good one. And I think definitely when you look at who you're bringing in player-wise, wide receiver, you had two guys recently that are no longer here, and they've struggled mightily to replace that cornerback. You can go back. So you're back to free agents, you're back to spending money, but you also need to fix what's going on in the draft as well. 610-632-0975, your phone number. Eitan Shander, we go till the top of the hour. Red Wings, Flyers, South Philly tonight at 7. Jason Martinez with the pregame. That's something that jumps out, though, is you don't get nearly as many people. And I'm not advocating for this. I'm just wondering why you don't get nearly as many people that would call this station, that would tweet us, that would just be walking down the street, Fifth and Market, contemplating out loud. You know, if Wentz doesn't throw those two picks, Eagles win hands down. But how many times have you heard over the last couple of days on this station, on Twitter, on Fifth and Market, if Doug Peterson kicks that damn field. If Doug Peterson kicks the field goal, not once, but twice, 6 points on the, they win the game. Because I got to tell you, it was a lot of people. It was a lot of people who were looking at the head coach. And instead, maybe the percentage in that pie chart was like 88% towards Peterson. And then the remaining 12% was just divvied up with everybody else. Now, here's the bottom line. I get the frustration. I understand why people are upset with Doug Peterson right now. Because, and I'll just paraphrase what Sal Palantonio told Mike Missanelli hour and 20 minutes ago. Those moves on Sunday were indefensible. I don't care if you're part of the man's blood. If you're with Peterson and his family, you don't defend that. Right, I mean, how many times does the news go to, like, the parents of somebody who commits a crime? Well, he was a good boy. We don't know what. He was a good son. You ain't going to get any of that with Peterson on those play calls. You're not going to get anybody in the family that would come out and defend those not going for the field goals. And yet still, it's very far and few. Now, still, you get criticism of Wentz.
And you get people coming after Wentz and saying, you know, hey, held accountable and things. But it's not to the level of extreme that it is with Peterson. And that fascinates me. Sharif, next up on The Fanatic with Eitan Shander. Sharif, good to hear from you, man.
Hey, Eitan. Good show as usual.
Thank you, sir.
To answer your first question, I think the reason why you are more stringent on Peterson than you are on Wentz is because, you see, coaching is a strategy. It's a thinking thing. You know what I mean? And Doug Peterson has been around enough coaches and around enough strategy to understand game time situations and the importance of them. I mean, you're talking about how he's the offensive coordinator at KC. He was in the Green Bay. He was also in other organizations as a quarterback coach. As a quarterback, even if he was a backup, meaning that he sat in on strategy meetings. So he has a lot of experience at this level. So he has a little bit less rope given to him because it's like, you know, Doug Peterson, you've been in the NFL for a long time. You should know these things. Whereas Wentz, this is his first time in a rodeo at any position. Like, you know, even if he was just a backup, this is his first time here. So did people give him a little bit more rope?
All right, well, let me ask you real quick, because I think that's a good synopsis of the question. With all that said, Sharif, I'm thinking right now, based on your answer, that Peterson just has too much on his plate.
Well, I think my problem with the whole thing is this, is that, you know, Howie Roseman hired Reich and Schwartz for a reason. That reason was to help Peterson sort of coach. I mean,
right.
Somebody had to tell him, hey, Peterson, I know this is what you think we should do, but I think we should do this. More egregious to me is the timeout, right? Soon as right before the two-minute warning, even though we end up getting an interception right before the two-minute warning, someone should say, hey, Doug, you know, we should take a timeout right after this. Like, Doug should not have to be thinking about that on his own. His offensive coordinator or his defensive coordinator should be in his ear and telling him, hey, you know, right after they, you know, we get the stop here, we're going to take a timeout, and then, you know, we're going to get a timeout, the two-minute warning. You know what? That's like basic, you know, NFL Madden stuff that you do. So I don't know what Reich or Schwartz is doing. I mean, they're not totally mute, I understand. I think that's what they were brought in as more experience to help Peterson coach along. So I think that's the whole coaching staff for some of Peterson things. Now, it's his calls. But they should also know their personnel. The fourth down, going for it on fourth down, and you're talking about teams you couldn't execute. Well, you have to understand that your players cannot execute at a high enough consistent level in order to get this done. And that's go across the NFL. That's why a lot of people don't go for it on fourth down.
Exactly.
Because they know that the chances of the chances of things going right is smaller than the chances of things going wrong.
I love it. No, Sharif, I love it, man. Always great to hear from you. Smart phone call as always. And that's so on point there. Just got to keep it moving because we're running short on time. Steve is next up on The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Hey, no, I heard what you were saying, man. I want to call in and let you know I agree with you. I think that no one is talking about the fact that, you know, Wentz is starting to throw a lot of interceptions, and if he wouldn't have thrown those two in the beginning of the game, we wouldn't have been put in a hole 14-0, not even halfway through the first quarter.
Now, you are not – your opinion is not something that I've heard a lot of people share. Not to say that it isn't valid. I happen to disagree, but I'm not here to disagree for the next minute. I'm just here to explore why you seem to be in the minority, and it seems to be more if Peterson kicks the field goals, they win that game.
Well,
why is that?
I don't think all the blame is. There's plenty of blame to go around in that game.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What I think is, like, I think people are scared to admit to themselves that maybe this guy is not the savior in Philadelphia. And, look, I hope he is. I really do, and I think the guy has a lot of talent. But I think people saw us go down this road with Foles. You know, Foles started out brilliantly, and then he just tanked.
Well, yeah, I think the difference, Steve, and I appreciate it, Steve. I think the difference is you can see in the DNA, you can see how a guy is reading a defense and how he's recognizing what's happening pre-snap. Now, what happens after the ball gets snapped? It can be a jailbreak. Guys around him could go down. That's all improv. That's all. You just hope that you've been put in a good position to execute and play football. It doesn't always work. But I think you can see a distinct difference between what's going on between the ears with Wentz pre-snap versus Foles, and that gives people a lot of confidence moving forward. But it is interesting, right? The no weapons argument is always a fail-safe and fallback to the Wentz detractors. Who's he throwing the ball to? Yet it's rarely used to defend Doug Peterson. Great job, Devon Givens. Flyers hockey comes your way next. Eitan Shander, I'm back in the morning with Anthony Gargano tomorrow. And all right, another week of football done. And while we're all still upset about what happened Sunday in New York, we've got to turn our sights to Week 10. Trust me, it's worth it. Time to start thinking about this weekend's football action and winning big at mybookie.net. What do you think? Who looks good? Arizona over San Francisco? Green Bay over Tennessee? Even though it's Tuesday, it's never too early to get on in on the action with MyBookie. Trust me, it's time. Did you have the winners this past week but didn't go to MyBookie and win? You must feel awful at that point. To have a winner, but not being able to collect on the best site that there is, MyBookie. Don't waste any time at all. Go to MyBookie now. Make your picks and win big. Don't let this week go by without making your picks at MyBookie. It's the industry-leading website. This past weekend, thousands of guys got in on the action, and they all took home a big win. Why not you? Make your picks at MyBookie now. Here's your chance to put your picks to work. Don't wait. Join MyBookie. It's so easy. Get in on the action. Don't go anywhere else. Trust me, don't go anywhere else. You don't need to. Just go online at MyBookie. Open up an account. So simple. Place your picks. Go to MyBookie. Use promo code FANATIC. That's promo code FANATIC. Sign up and win big only at MyBookie.